Welcome back to our anime show. I'm a binge monster.
I'm a green queen.
And happy new year.
Happy new year.
I know we're recording this on the second day of the year, but it's already been quite the year so far. In relevant news, did you hear that there was an earthquake in Japan today? There was a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Like 7.6. Did you see the videos? It was crazy.
I really haven't like looked into it just because I was like running around at work. But
yeah, it was quite big, and there were tsunamis that were like 3 meters tall, which is like 9 feet, like all across certain regions of Japan. And my wife's brother lives there, so I was pretty worried because I don't know what it is about most earthquake news alerts. They don't often say where the epicenter was. They'll just say like there was at this point this earthquake in this country. And not ironically, but just so happens that there was also an earthquake yesterday in Nepal, and that was not like in the same city that my wife's family is from, thankfully. But also, and obviously I'm not trying to compare earthquakes to earthquakes, but there was an earthquake in New York. Did you feel it this morning? Did you know that?
What?
I bet you didn't even know that.
No.
It was tiny. It was like a 1 point something. I told my wife that, she was like, that's hardly an earthquake. I'm like, you're right. But it was one. I didn't even know
when New York had
earthquakes. It was this morning. I don't remember exactly the time. But yeah, it happened today. The epicenter was Astoria. Isn't that crazy?
Oh my god, is our friend that lives there okay?
I think everyone's okay. It was only like a 1 point something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But like, that's yeah, anyways.
Crazy.
Earthquakes all around. Like literally earthquakes in every country and city with people that I love. There was, and as a matter of fact, there was also an earthquake in LA. LA,
no.
New York, Nepal, Japan. Four different places since the New Year's. What is that? All the places I love. Like, tell me that's not crazy.
I think that you
are the problem.
What am I trying to say? I think you're the sunshine boy.
Sunshine maiden. Oh, well, today's episode is supposed to be about an incredible film that we only realized like 2 weeks ago you hadn't watched yet. I don't know how that one slipped. But I'm glad that we were able to watch it. But before we get into this great movie, because there's so much to unpack, and you're like fresh off of watching it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like is a really like constant theme that I actually really enjoy. Like this happened like a couple weeks ago when we were watching the, was it the trailer to Avatar?
Paranoia Agent.
No.
Oh yeah. The trailer. We watched it. Like we logged on.
Yeah.
Watched it and immediately jumped into the episode.
Yeah.
Well, I watched it for the first time. You watched it the second time.
Anyways, as a side note, and I might even just take this out of the episode, but we'll have to see. I just I don't know if you saw this morning, but one of the like opposition leaders in South Korea was stabbed in the neck this morning.
Oh my
Did you
God.
See that?
Yes. Yes, I knew that.
And it was like very, it just reminded me very much of the way Shinzo Abe was assassinated. Like it was just out in public at a like a rally looking event. Some random person in like street clothes that seemingly looked completely harmless was able to just walk right up and attack him, and it was wild. I mean, the video, you can see the video right now. It's thankfully, it seems like he's actually okay, unlike Shinzo Abe. But I don't know, it was just like a domino effect of all of these things, like earthquakes in Japan and then this stabbing happened. I'm like, whoa,
yeah,
why is there so much volatility right as the gates open of 2024? What's going on? So,
yeah. Oh, no. I mean, somebody even at the gym mentioned the earthquakes and mentioned the stabbing, and they were like, what's going on in Asia? And I was like, it's everywhere. These tumbling blocks, like, everywhere is a mess. Like, not to get too down about it, but I'm honestly having a reaction because this is the first time that I've really started to, I've just been working all day and I haven't processed the events of yesterday and today that I'm like, what happened?
Yeah. I think the New York earthquake is the one that threw me the most off. I mean, not that the 7.6 earthquake isn't huge, but like Japan has large earthquakes. And yeah, that's not an unnormal occurrence, but I didn't even know New York had them. So I was just like, what is going on?
One bad earthquake and it's going to be bad.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, weather, climate change, the time.
What's happening?
It's a weird start to the year. Now, with that said, I think one of my favorite things that we do on this podcast is talking about films. I think Makoto Shinkai, in particular, as a director, is of the more celebrated now. But when Your Name came out, he was pretty unknown. And I think our listeners know how much we absolutely love that film. And a couple of months ago, we talked about Suzume, and we wanted to talk about the film in between, which I would be curious to see where you place it in preparation for this episode. I tried to get a sense of how people feel about this one, and it's really interesting because Your Name definitely has the popularity behind it. But of the comments that I read of people reviewing this film, Weathering with You, I don't know why I blanked on the name, but a lot of people think that it's the better of his two films, the first two major films between Your Name and this one. And I'm not looking for your confirmation whether you agree or not yet. I want to dive into this film. And we can talk about it because they make some really interesting points that I'd like to see what you think about them. But yeah, I mean, it's a great film. It's his second major one right after Your Name. And gosh, when did this come out? 2019, I think.
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah. Maybe we should start with a quick synopsis.
Oh, yeah. As most wonderful episodes about movies that we do.
Yeah.
Start. So, Weathering With You does take place in this time in Japan when the rain won't stop, right? The weather is volatile. They can't get any bit of sunshine. Everyone's like, oh man, this is so tough. And we're following this boy named... I forget his name. What's his name? Hodaka? Yeah. Uh-huh. We're following Hodaka, who is a boy who has basically run away from home to Tokyo, Japan. And he's only, like, 16. So he can't really, like, do... Like, it's not legal for him to, like, do things by himself. He's looking for a job. He's looking for a place to stay. And, like, we don't really know. But he's just like, I just can't go home. I just can't go home. I have to be here. Whatever it is. Or I have to be not home. So then he winds up finding a job at like a newspaper or like a place, like I don't exactly know what it fully is, but he gets put on investigating like urban legends, right? Yes. Like it's like, oh yeah, you go around and you ask people about urban legends and, you know, to report back to me. And that's Mr. Suga, who is basically like, Mr. Suga basically, I think, sees himself in this kid because like they have a similar past. I'll say, like, he also was like kind of on his own, ran away from home, what have you. I didn't know if you wanted to speak, so I gave you.
No, I was going to let you go.
Sorry, I just was giving a pause just in case you wanted to speak. Okay. So one day, Hodaka is like down on his luck. And he's like, you know, man, I can't even have like shout, or he's eating. Oh, I think I'm mixing up what happens. I think this happens before he gets a job. Anyway, he's in this restaurant having a literal cup of chowder on the pennies that he has. And this girl walks up who works there and just drops a big old juicy, wonderful hamburger in front of him. And he's like, this is the greatest thing I've ever eaten. I'm obsessed with this person. She's my angel, whatever. He doesn't even, that's a bad representation. It's not a romance anime where he goes to the store every day now and like, but that's not it. It's just, this happens. He's really taken by it. And then we move on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in his time of spending time basically on the streets, he gets to know the neighborhood, and now he knows where like the strip club is, where mm-hmm. like the, and like, it's a very like story telling I or like how do I say this like a trope-ish strip club where like the guys run it and they're like these you know stinky dirt bags. And so dude is just like out and about one day and sees this girl who gave him the hamburger walking with this dirtbag guy who works at the strip club, and he's like, oh my god, she can't go in there. And she looks apprehensive. She looks like she doesn't really want to go in, but like maybe they had some sort of deal. We later find out, whatever. So he, you know, Hodaka runs in, stops it, gets her, and then they're fleeing the scene. A bunch of things happen. He has a gun. He shoots the gun. It's chaos, essentially. But from there, they become like pals, friends, if you will.
It's just interesting because it's in the big bad city, and once again, thematically speaking, these children are put into positions that they ought not be in as children. You know, it's just mm-hmm. their circumstances individually,
yes,
kind of brought them together in really unfortunate circumstances, and you know, they try to navigate finding some sense of, I don't know, like change in their circumstances in whatever way possible.
Like
right?
Ownership. Yeah. Because also Hina, who is this girl, she also just like lives alone with her brother. So we're dealing with like now three children who just are children out on the streets, you know, making their own way, working jobs, you know, and it winds up being where, you know, they make this connection and Hina's like, oh yeah, I got fired from that job, so I was going to go do this thing and make some money, whatever, it was a last resort. And I forget exactly the circumstance for how this happens, but they're together at some point. She goes, let me show you something. Now, again, it's raining throughout Japan for months and years and days and what have you. The weather's always bad. So she prays and basically makes like a pocket of sunshine, of perfect, like I'm talking Makoto Shinkai's best direction, beautiful imagery, just like a pocket of perfect sunshine. And then I feel like that's where the story starts to go. Oh, yeah, this is Makoto Shinkai. Oh, yeah, there's magic here. This isn't just a real world kind of thing. Something is happening. And it's not necessarily magic, but it is something of greater power, if you will. So then, because you to binge monster's point, absolutely. I'm just going to keep going unless you interject or correct me. So to your point, these children that are like looking for some ownership and they can't really work because they're literal children, you know, like they don't have papers, IDs, nothing. So they go, we know what we're going to do. Since homegirl Hina can just summon sunlight, which is clearly a sparse resource in this land, we are going to put out a flyer that says that you can hire us to bring the sunshine. Like literally. They immediately get hits. Everything's going great. It's working just as they suspected. She goes to a place, she prays, the sun comes, everyone's happy. All of Japan is like, oh my gosh, the sunshine girl, this is amazing, this is so good. It even gets to the point where it's like, I don't exactly, they're not very clear, I think, on what the event actually is, but to me, I was like, oh, she just got hired by the Super Bowl. Like, she just got hired by, like, this big festival to make sunshine over this, like, big corporate event. And it was after that that they were like, oh, like, maybe now that her face is everywhere and people really know her, like, maybe we should take a step back from doing this in the way that we're doing it. And then what happens?
She starts to...
Oh. Two things happen. I feel like this is a test somehow for me. No. I feel like I'm being tested. But anyway, two things are happening now in parallel. One thing is that the police and investigators are starting to ask questions of, like, who the hell are these kids? Where do they come from? There's also a missing persons report out for Hodoka. From his family back in wherever he's from. So he's now on the radar. This child has been missing, and now he's just here, and he's with this guy, Mr. Suga, who's, like, you know, honestly a homeboy, but, like, definitely from the outside perspective could be, like, kidnapping this child. So while this is happening, while people are starting to ask questions, child services are coming to both of their respective homes and, like, just giving them heartache, we start to realize that Hina is actually, because she keeps praying to the sun god, because she keeps praying for the sunshine to come, she's starting to actually, like, disappear into water. So, like, she shows her shoulder and it's basically, you know, translucent. She shows her foot, it's basically translucent. She, you know, comes to this conclusion, like, I think the reason that I'm connected to the sky for, you know, some reason. She walked through the Todi, she prayed to the sun god, and now she's whatever, she's sunshine. But she's starting to put the pieces together that I think we've had such bad weather since I first prayed to the sun and became the sunshine girl. Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking, Hina, this is Hina, she's thinking the only way to actually fix this issue we're having in Japan of endless rain is to actually give myself to the sky, mm-hmm. and be gone, so that finally Japan can be well again.
Right.
And Hodaka's like, absolutely not, bitch. Like, no. Anyway, they had to flee, so they're all in this hotel room. They have one final, like, wonderful night, and then they wake up and she's gone. So Hodaka and little boy, her younger brother, the police come, they break it up. Hodaka's now on the run. He's like, I have to get to her. I have to find her. So he goes to this original Tori, which is, she had showed him the original Tori that where she prayed to the sun or to the sky for the first time, where she got her powers. He's like, I need to go there. I bet I can find her if I just go there and pray, so forth, blah, blah, blah. Absolute chaos ensues. You know, everyone's involved. It's all hands on deck. People chasing who, friends of the past coming to kind of help them out, whatever. He gets there. He goes in. He's now in the sun. He finds her. Him and Hina are basically floating in the sky, and it's honestly stunning. It sounds basic, but it's absolutely stunning. And he's like, Hina, you know what? Stop living and stop praying for everybody else. It's time to pray for yourself. And she goes, you know, they clasp hands and they pray for Hina, and they come, you know, back to the Todi, and then we just kind of, well, and then it's sort of like a flashback, but what we come to understand is that the rain continued, the rain didn't stop. In fact, it, like, flooded parts of Japan where they are no longer livable, and, you know, a big portion of Japan is now underwater, and our guy Hodoka had to go back to wherever he was from. They took him back there. He stood trial for, like, having a gun and doing all whatever he did. they were separated for a couple years, I think.
Right.
And then they come back together and they're just as excited to see the other one as the other one is excited to see them. And by that, I mean they were very excited to see each other. And that's me recalling the entire plot of Weathering With You from my ADD brain. You're welcome. I hope everyone stayed. If you made it this far, I don't know, like and subscribe, and I'll just thank you so much.
So there are so many incredible things that make this movie unique from my perspective. Mm-hmm. The first of which is, and Makoto Shinkai has talked about this before in interviews, that all of his films belong to the same universe. Mm-hmm. And all of them are based in Japan. So one little Easter egg that's kind of a spoiler is, if you really enjoyed Your Name, is that you get to see both Taki and Mitsuha in this film.
Wait, I thought that was him. I don't know.
That was him.
I don't know where Mitsuha was. Was she there?
So she was. She worked at a store and puts like something that they bought into a bag, and like they went on their way. She was working at like either a department store or like a fast food place. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a store though. I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly. But yeah, they're both in it. And there's also a little frame, like a photo of them together somewhere, I believe. Don't quote me on that last one, but I feel like I remember that. I know they're both in it, but I feel like there was a frame with the two of them together at his grandmother's house or something.
Yes, I definitely remember. I was like, I think that's him at the grandmother's house.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So that's really cool. Mm-hmm. The other thing that he talked about was that like the flooding that you referred to at the end, that's kind of where this plot really drives home, is that choice to either give herself up to the sky, mm-hmm. and save all of Tokyo from an endless rain, or choose life and it be, you know, what it is now, which is a completely flooded city. It's really not much of a city very much anymore. It's completely like underwater piece of land, and there are still things that survive, but by and large, I think when you look at the last few scenes, it looks like more than 90% of the city is completely submerged underwater. So there are some really incredible people who have made really good reviews about this film, and as always, I try to watch as many of them as possible every time I finish a film, particularly from anime, because there are people who have done so much more research than I will have in preparation for watching a film that will give meaning to every little detail of what you watch. And not being a Japanese citizen and not knowing Japanese folktales, like, you know, you start to pick up on themes while you're watching these films, but you never really know immediately like what they mean. Mm-hmm. And so I always enjoy, after finishing any anime film, going and looking up and seeing what people have found and what was the symbolism and so forth, because it's just there and present in such a way where I just don't feel like that's the case with Western films. So one in particular I really want to give a shout out to is from a YouTube channel called Bonsai Pop. And they did a really incredible review. I think it's like a 20-minute review of Weathering With You. And a number of things that they talk about kind of stood out. The first of which is that in Shintoism and Buddhism, there are two rain spirits. Mm. And one of them in particular is a water dragon with a snake's face, that like is very commonly told in Shinto stories. And then in Buddhism, there is a god, and I don't remember the name of that god, but she like is part water. And Makoto Shinkai actually put a picture of that god in one of the scenes. Mm-hmm. And in one of the scenes where I think the main character was getting berated by a priest. I don't remember, but it actually showed the god that seemingly Hina represents. I think that there's like an interpretation where she is that god, mm-hmm. in human form, and just chose to, you know, stay in this life instead of going and returning back to the water, which she so clearly was, like, in human form. I don't know, but like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it was.
That's a real, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, that's a real like folktale, or like that's a real god.
It's a real god.
In,
yeah.
Oh, see, that's really interesting. Yeah, yeah, that's actually very, yeah, interesting.
The other thing that I think makes this film special is obviously the detail of the animation. It is stunning. And it's not something that you will the sharpness you will find in really anything that he hasn't done. I've never seen any animated anything that really comes close to his style in terms of, like, I don't know, the sharpness and the colors and the beauty of it all. It's so unique. And yeah, you're right, the scene where they're falling from the sky is absolutely gorgeous. And anyone who's watched Your Name, I mean, they will tell you that the animation of that film is beautiful, and I think this is just as, if not more, mm-hmm. In some scenes. So for that alone, it's just worth seeing a completely different style of animation than you're going to find anywhere else. But certainly not with anything like Pixar related or Miyazaki related, which is, they're a little bit more, I don't know, like the characters are more round. They're more fantastical.
Yeah.
They're less human-like, right?
Yeah. I also just...
Like, he'll even... No, oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, even the layering and like, they have this beautiful, like, shot where there are fireworks going off and they're celebrating this festival where she had, you know, cleared the sky and so forth. And now it's nighttime, mm-hmm. and they're doing these fireworks and the camera, quote unquote, but the bird's eye view is going, like, through the fireworks. I don't know if you remember this. And mm-hmm. I was like, what is happening? Like, the depth.
Right, that it's like a drone.
The depth that they're able to, that like his, the Makoto Shinkai's team, that animation studio, what they're able to do with depth in a very mm-hmm. clearly also 2D space is,
right,
I don't get it, but it's spectacular, yeah, to experience.
I was just watching a documentary about the way Avatar the Last Airbender was created, because I finished the series with my wife yesterday, which was a big accomplishment in our house, because we were on book one, episode 9, on Friday of last week, and as of Monday night we finished the whole series. So we crushed it. But we were watching this documentary, and one of the things one of the art directors said was that one of the creators had come in and said, yeah, we want a wide lens shot and we want to zoom in and zoom out. And he was saying that was one of the most stressful things he had ever taken on, because that's not a thing when you're working with 2D. Like, there is no wide lens. There's so he was like, he said, like, I had to invent that. He was like, I went to art school. They don't prepare you for that in art school. Like, so he was saying that throughout the course of his journey as the art director of Avatar, he had to learn how to meet some of those needs. And I think what Makoto Shinkai's animation team is able to do with that, you're absolutely right. Like, that it's the depth, it's the grandness, it's all of the details, the shading, even like, you know, you can even see the bezel on an iPhone and a water droplet as it, like, rubs down the screen. Like, it's so detail oriented and it's so stunning. That alone is just worth going to see the film. I think there are two, I'd love to get your take fresh off watching it. There are two major, yes, camps
Yes.
That even the YouTube channel that I was talking about earlier kind of speaks to Bonsai Pop, and I tend to agree with their assessment of this, is that like a lot of people think like, oh, this is an ode to climate change, or oh, this is a love story about like, you know, two people and they just like are selfish and like, you know, come together at the end. And they give their own interpretation. I have my own interpretation, but I just want to pose that to you and see what
there was some, I mean, I can see how it's like whether, I mean, I definitely thought of climate change. In fact, I almost wanted to, I wanted to look up like what was happening climate change wise in like 2018, 2019, when this was in development or what have you, or really, I guess it would be more like 2016 or 17, more realistically, when this would have been like written and developed, because I was like, what, like, is, I mean, they could be commentating on it, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what was happening in the climate change? Like, because I feel like there was a time where shit started to hit the fan and everyone was like, oh my God, we are doing so bad towards the planet. So I was curious if that maybe had some influence or inspiration, but like definitely something that I was reading was that this was potentially, I think Makoto Shinkai even said it, that it was like a story about like a child having to make their own decisions and like not going along with what the older generation has to say just because. I read something like that, and like, I don't know, I mean, not that I'm like, that's definitely it, but I mean, if Makoto Shinkai said it is, then it is, but I don't know if he actually said that. But this idea, you know, because the kids are constantly like, especially like when, you know, towards the end, when the stakes are so high and like a lot of plates are flying, you know, the adults in the room are trying to tell these kids, and they're not doing, the kids are not doing anything wrong, but they're trying to make these kids do what they should be doing or need to be doing. And, you know, even their most trusted adult is like, whoa, 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 you know what? You're right. This is the right thing to do. You know, you should, I'm going to give you over to the police and we're going to talk about it. Everything's going to be fine. And the kids, you know, are like, no, no, no. And especially when we're thinking of Hina and being the sunshine girl, you know, she's all but willing to give up her whole life for this. And it's not like, I mean, I don't know, like being someone who also loves superhero stories, I try to justify it. I'm like, so many people are like dying because it's raining. Like, I guess there is a lot of bad things happening because it's raining so bad. But I'm like, girl, like, what did you do besides like pray for everything to be better at some point, and now you have these powers? So her making that decision, I think, is the biggest thing for me of like, how, like, because even as a viewer being able to watch them not do the thing that you think they're also like, not that I thought they were supposed to do that, but like, you think that they're the heroes and they're gonna save the day, watching them not do that was awesome. Like, just as a viewer, you know?
You know, one of the things that I learned in preparing for this episode is that apparently in the Edo period, Tokyo was like Venice. It was a city filled with waterways, significantly more than what we see as modern-day Tokyo today, architecturally speaking. And the city is built on top of a lot of water everywhere. And apparently, it is without question destined to sink. It's going to happen. It is not, and not just because of climate change. It is just a known fact that eventually Tokyo will be underwater again, because that's the way that it was. And unfortunately, I think we have some states and some cities in the U.S. that are also destined for something similar. But the point being that it's interesting when you look at whether or not it's a child's responsibility to solve this problem for everyone else, and what kinds of questions and what kinds of moral decisions that presents to people in the story. Adults, there's actually a scene at the bar where the main guy, oh gosh, what is his name? The adult, the one that works at the PR agency. Sure. Yeah, Mr. Suga is like, yeah, it's the right thing to do. Like,
Mr. Suga?
Yeah, save everyone. Like, it's like very practical in thinking. And the kids are like, well, fuck that. Like, no, like that's a life. Like, let's, you know, and I do see the parallel in those conversations in climate change, where like a lot of the adults are kind of like, well, it's not practical to go to renewable energy, and like, oh well, you know, kids are like, well, that's our future, so like, you know, fuck you. make the choice that saves humanity. But so that parallel is really interesting. But I also think that, again, it speaks to that very Eastern mindset of community, and how, you know, there is this expectation that people make decisions on the better half of the community versus the individual, and how like kids are challenging the status quo. They're challenging the indoctrination of, you know, that mindset. And I think there's an element of that that's really quite nice to see. And one of the things that Banzai Pop said in their review is that they feel like this isn't about climate change or two kids being selfish and falling in love at all. It's about trying to adapt to change and realizing that, like, you can't control change. Change is inevitable, and like the only thing that you can do is embrace it, accept it, and adapt. And like the thought that you can do anything other than that is meaningless. And that apparently that's like a very Buddhist philosophy and way of thinking that is very much embraced in that spiritual circle. And in particular, like all these adults who are just thinking like, oh, if I pay some money, like I can have sunshine, and like I don't have to, you know, I don't have to adapt, right? Like is like very much people just trying to control change. And and yet what's interesting is at the end, when they make their decision and save each other, or realizes he's fallen in love with Hina and is like, screw it, I don't care what happens to the rest of the world, I love you and I want you to be okay. And like, you know, they save her. And once Tokyo really is underwater, everyone's fine. Like, they don't talk about whether anyone died or anything, to your point. It's not like anyone died, at least from what we saw. But there was clearly, between moment one and moment two, which was like right before he got carted off, to when they met up again, clearly Tokyo flooded. And obviously that didn't happen overnight. That was probably a progression. But society evolved around that situation seemingly just fine.
And they really do, to your point, show that. I felt like with, like, because when the scene happened, I was like, why? But now that you're saying this, I'm like, oh yeah, because they showed like a classroom of just kids like singing or doing whatever, because like that's what it is.
Right.
Like, if that school flooded, they just made another school. And everyone goes to that one, and they're getting their education, and everything's actually fine. Yeah.
And there's even like tours, and people are there in like rain outfits. Like, now this is the city that just rains a lot, like Seattle. And like, there are skyscrapers underground, and they were like seeing that and taking pictures of it. And, you know, like it just like life moves on. So I think that that's really beautiful. One of the things that I'd be curious about your take, and I'm a little defensive of this personally, and maybe for the wrong reasons, but a lot of people who say that Weathering With You is better than Your Name is because the characters are more fleshed out. How Haruka's character arc as the male main character, the male protagonist of the duos, between Taki and Haruka, that his character is more fleshed out. There's a little bit more substance to all of his motives and decisions and reflexes and And that, and I think there's an argument to be made there. Same with Hina, that like the both of them, their stories are a little bit more fleshed out, and there's, you know, I think one of the things they said is like oftentimes Shinkai will, and this is a critique of hers, I guess, that he'll let magic kind of fill in, whereas in here he felt like these character stories were so fleshed out that they drove the plot more, and so therefore it was like a better film.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear what you think about that.
Well, I think in all of his films, there is an element to the main characters being like, I just have to go here, or like, I just have to do this, right? Like, I mean, I can't remember now. I know they talked about it, but like, what was the justification for Hina going towards that sunspot in the very first place?
Yeah.
She just looked out the window, saw it, and it called to her.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Like, and I can accept that, but like, if you really think about it, and they don't ever actually give us a reason as to why Hodoka ran away from home. He just has always not wanted to be home. Did they ever give us a proper reason?
If they did, I don't remember it.
I really don't think that they do.
Yeah, it's possible that they didn't.
Which, like, I'm not... You know what? I'm just like you, because I immediately was like, listen here, guys. This movie is just as good as Your Name.
Apparently, the novel answers these questions better.
Okay.
That was that apparently he was running away from like an abusive relationship with his father and was pushing him down a path he didn't want to go. But I think, you know, similar to Mitsuha, there was obviously like this longing, this like need to be, you know, in the big city. And I mean, I get that. I grew up in a pretty big city in Los Angeles, but I knew so strongly that New York was where I was supposed to be. And like, there's nothing, there is actually no reason in hindsight that I look back and I go, that was the reason. That was the that was the principal reason I decided. You know, I think when I listen to people's stories, they're like, "Oh, I watched this movie and I saw this scene, and ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted to be in a parade." Or I didn't have that. I just was like, "I want to be in New York, and that's where I'm going to go." And I really
did.
So I can empathize with that. I think there's an element of that. I don't know. I think this is a great film. I think it's really entertaining. I think it's beautiful. Like I was saying earlier, and we didn't talk about every single individual symbolic moment that you'll find throughout the film. But I think if you enjoyed Your Name, or if you haven't watched Your Name, it's also hard to, you know, this is a great film to go watch. I was just going to say, it's hard to compare them though, because they're really, it's not like this is Your Name too. It's really a completely different story.
Yeah.
Telling of, you know, telling a story in a very different way with very different characters. The only thing that they have in common is the beautiful art style. The fact that there's a little cameo of them and they're set in the same universe, but definitely not like same, you know, nothing besides that.
Yeah, no, I mean, we might even have listeners that have only seen Suzume thus yet, and I gotta tell you, this is another one of his films, and if you liked Suzume, I think, you know, I think this even could, I mean, the three of them, we could talk for hours about how they could rival each other, but each in their own isolation are like masterpieces. I think that's fair to say.
Absolutely. There is a camp of people who will say that Shinkai is like the next Hayao Miyazaki. And I don't know that I can really compare the two of them stylistically or anything like that. But I can say that he makes really good films.
Fantastic films that are riddled with symmetry, LOL, riddled with metaphor and
symbolism.
Symbolism. not in a way where you watch it and you are so confused the entire time and nothing is explained.
You really did not like Lady and the Heron.
The Boy and the Heron, I felt...
Oh, it's the Boy and the Heron. The Lady and the Heron. You were the lady at the Boy and the Heron.
I was the lady at the Boy and the Heron. I actually did like it because I'm a goofball and I'll watch anything and have a grand old time. However, It took me 2 hours after reading materials to finally decipher why things were happening the way that they were. But I enjoyed it. I was like, ooh, Hayao Miyazaki, pretty colors, fun characters, woo. Like,
do you feel like that the need to do that reflects a man who knows he's a legend, but also like wants to create really like high art that's just, I don't know. Like, do you feel like it's a little elitist?
Interesting.
Because I feel that way about Hayao Miyazaki right now. He is very vocal about anime, the state of anime right now, the people creating it. He is like, he doesn't explicitly say that.
Uh-huh.
But it feels very much like, well, if you're not me, you're not creating real art, real anime right now. Like, it's a dying thing. It's losing its way.
We should have a Hayao Miyazaki episode where we discuss a lot of different supporting articles, because you haven't seen this movie yet, right?
I haven't.
The Boy and the Heron. I think in order to have this conversation, you need to have the context that I have, having watched it. But all to say, Makoto Shinkai does not miss. Does not miss, unless he does and I haven't seen the miss yet. But you know what, these three films, especially Weathering With You, I'm so glad I watched it. I can't recommend you watch it enough. If you made it all the way to the end where we literally spoil the entire thing, but you haven't watched it, I cannot recommend you actually watch it. I promise my explanation did nothing to what this beautiful movie is. And with that, this has been our anime show, and I've been a green queen.
And I've been a binge monster.